My vision is clear, the future is here. Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geek.net's Botched Role. I am your game master, or host in this case, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Well guys, we've been talking with some really neat people in the RPG industry. I've talked with Owen Casey Stevens. I've talked with the guys over at Smiteworks for Fantasy Grounds. And we're going to kind of continue that trend. We're going to be talking with Ben Looms. And he's the guy behind a program called Sirenscape. This is something you're probably going to want to integrate into your RPG sessions nowadays, since a lot of us are using laptops and all sorts of computers to add things to our own gaming session. They could be dice rolls, they could be pretty much any number of combat trackers. But what this is something a little bit different, something to enhance the auditory experience, if you will. And since I'm a sound guy, I dig sound. I think you're going to dig this too. So I want to welcome Ben to the show. Ben is the creator behind Sirenscape. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Yes, I'm the extremely noisy person who makes all the loud at people's tables.
Yes, Ben. Okay, so to get this out of the way, what is Sirenscape?
Sirenscape is a really simple and easy-to-use app that doesn't take much attention from game masters. If you're in a medieval town, you just touch the medieval town button and suddenly all the sounds you'd expect from a medieval town are there. Not just on a 15-minute loop track that goes round and round and round, but everything's completely independent, dynamic. Maybe a cart goes past once, and then maybe a cart doesn't come past for ages. There's hawkers calling out. You can turn the hawkers up, you can turn them off, you can turn them down, or you can just let it run. And then when the dragon attacks, you touch the dragon attack button and suddenly there's roars and intense music and everything all happening. It just takes that one touch every now and then, but is also incredibly customizable. So you can add some lightning and thunder to your dragon attack so that the players are not only getting roasted, but are also wet at the same time. And yeah, that's Sirenscape. It adds the movie soundtrack to your gaming table.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I've always wanted to bring to my games and have done with a moderate degree of success over my 20 plus years of kind of role playing, it's adding sound to the environment. Like you just said, Sirenscape is this audio player that allows you to create a dynamic sound environment. Now, one of the cool things is you have a different variety of sound packs. Like you said, you could be in a town, you could have a dragon fight. One of the things that I'd like to talk about are some of just the more ordinary things and something you wouldn't necessarily think about that would really kind of add to the immersive experience. One of the ones I really like is you had one, I think it was for The Witch or something like that, but you have one sound effect or one loop where it's rain. And it has this nice kind of wet depth to it. You can actually hear it hitting the ground, and mud has a very specific sound when rain hits it. And you've managed to integrate that into the sound design for this. So I guess my question is for you, what kind of work went into creating these soundscapes? Because this is stuff that would be on the level for a movie or a video game like, say, Skyrim.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, really, so imagine an environment. Say we're trying to make a spooky forest. As you referred to, the Witchwood is one of the free sound sets that comes with it when you download it, so you can give it a try. So we've got maybe a basic background wind noise, just a very subliminal, you don't really notice it, just a general hissing and sort of wailing sound, almost below perception. And that just helps to bind the whole sound design all together. And then maybe you have distant sounds that happen every now and then of some monsters roaring or something scuttling in the background. That also, you know, isn't a really massive event that's going to draw the attention of everyone to Sirenscape. But just add to that general, you know, feeling that you're actually in a real place that's dynamic and populated by real elements. And then, as you said, yeah, one of the elements in that Witchwood is the rain sound, which you can turn off or turn on and turn it up loud and turn it down. So if I need the sound of rain, I literally need to go and record rain somewhere. And as you said, there are 100 different varieties of rain. There's rain on a tin roof. There's rain plopping on brickwork. There's rain plopping into mud or into water. And yeah, if you want to create that sense of really being in a place, you've got to get that right, because otherwise people are going to immediately be pulled out of the environment they're in and thinking, oh, you know, something feels peculiar and wrong. So sound design in a movie is a lot of the time about being completely invisible and unnoticed. And, you know, if it's all right, then all it does is completely immerse you in the location, help to increase your believability and hold you there. So with much less sort of effort, imagination-wise, and really allow you to then to explore that space as if you're really, really there. And you don't notice it. If it's all working correctly then, and it's all right, then it doesn't jar. And that was one of the main reasons I made Sirenscape, is because when I was looking to create these sounds at my own table, I did look for lots of different things and found it difficult to find things where the sound design was good or it didn't go sort of like the rain loop wasn't sort of 11 seconds long and it was like, you know, became incredibly annoying really, really quickly. So yeah, and look, there's some fun stories about creating, for instance, the sound of armor foley, you know, the sound of someone in leather armor with buckles and things, which when it came down to it, I found my laptop bag was fantastic for shaking in front of the shaking and rustling in front of the microphone. And when you hear the sound sets that have that armor foley in combat, that's just me in my studio with a laptop. And oh, I could go on, but I'll let you get me to do that if you want me to.
So when you were making this program, what was your main inspiration for kind of doing this? Because this is something that a lot of GMs now, especially in the last, say, 10 years, I'm seeing more and more laptops and stereos around gaming tables. So what did you want to create with this?
Yeah, see, I was using movie soundtracks, you know, sort of the Lord of the Rings type soundtracks and Star Wars and things, and trying to do playlists on laptops. And that kind of works pretty well, but very often you end up with the wrong song where you're there sort of piling through a playlist to try and find the right moment when, of course, the whole point of a tabletop game is that you're looking at your players and concentrating on crafting a story together. I also kind of thought it'd be cool to have some environmental noise. So I started making, like many people are, in fact, nowadays, making loops, you know, 15 minutes worth of environmental sound. And for me, it all came down to this one moment at the gaming table where I had this kind of forest loop and we were there negotiating with the elves or whatever, I don't remember. And the you know, after hearing this loop around five times, the players actually stopped me. And they go, wait, wait, and they're like, oh, because they'd noticed this flaming pattern that after, you know, 3.5 minutes of the recording, the two crows crowed and then the wolf howled. And that's the problem with some fantastic sound design that people are doing, but if it's on a loop, the human mind is so good at finding those patterns, and that's the reason science works in the world. So I was like, oh, you need to be able to randomize this stuff. So I started making my loops longer and longer, and that was really, really hard work. And you know, computers are fantastic at creating algorithms, you know, spacing out sounds. So I eventually just had to do it myself because I couldn't find it. So the whole point of Sirenscape is that the crows and the wolves and the distant rattling monsters and all the different elements of the sound design are all completely independent and all randomized. Sometimes they might come from the front speakers of your surround system, and next time they might come from the left back one. Sometimes the sound might be really, really close and directing, like, holy crap, what's that? And then the next time it might be right in the distance with a great big long reverb tail as it sort of bounces off the hills. And that just, for me, created a real immersion and realism to the sound, which you know, contributes to the game and makes it cooler, like any good soundtrack in a movie does, rather than taking you out of the experience.
So with this, I'm just kind of looking at it. You've got this mixed in as high as 7.1 surround sound. Was that difficult to like kind of mix the sounds so they're all that unique?
There you go. That's right. So when a sound is picked up by Sirenscape, it is thrown in a random direction, you know, 0 to 360 degrees, according to the parameters that I set. So I can actually control, and when people are working in the Sunset Creator, they'll be able to control if they want it just to come a little bit left or a little bit right, or always from the rear speakers. If the sound is then also thrown at a random distance, so once again, if it's a long way away, it'll be quieter. You can even move the sounds, which is really cool. So I have these spooky ghost sounds a lot of the time that start sort of off in one corner of the surround spectrum and come past the listener, which really freaks people out. And so randomized distance, randomized volume, randomized direction, and all that's completely controllable by the parameters, which is really cool. I mean, it means that every time a dog, you know, maybe I've got 15 dogs in the dog element, but every time, you know, the second time the same dog howl might howl, it might be way off into the distance at a completely different angle.
See, that's something I find really kind of amazing about this, because the fact that it is mixed in so many different ways and the fact that it is randomized and you can change distances and frequencies, something like that, the world does come alive, and that adds an extra layer of immersion for the players and the game master. Mind you, it is something extra to keep track of as a GM, but as technology moves forward, like I said, I'm seeing more and more laptops around the table. And earlier last week, I did an interview with some people behind a game assistance program called FantasyWorks, and more people are streaming their games on services like Ustream or Twitch or whatnot. I could see this being a really cool immersion tool to bring up production values for people that kind of stream. Hell, I'd love to see this on like Will Wheaton's tabletop. Because that could really add something to those games. If they have a really talented sound engineer working with the game master, you're mixing the theater of the mind, except now you're adding a tangible layer to it.
It's a genuinely weird thing to have absent. I mean, you would never ever go to a film and expect there to be no sound design. I mean, that's literally 100 years ago in films. And you know, of course, we don't notice it when we go to the cinema, but you know, you don't notice that when the camera's sort of zooming up slowly behind the person, you don't go, oh my gosh, those trombones are playing a tritone. I think something terrible is going to happen to the star. But that's precisely what's happening, and it's the soundtrack that creates those cues. And in Sirenscape, if it's the sort of peculiar scuttling of things that obviously have more than six legs, you know, there's an irresistible, basic, visceral reaction to that you know, creates the fight and flight reflex, which means you just like, holy crap, we're really going to get killed by this thing, we need to band together and all that sort of stuff. So absolutely, it just totally immerses you in the environment in a way that we would actually expect in a computer game. Imagine a computer game with no soundtrack. That would be really, really weird. So, and everyone intuitively understands, why would you play at a tabletop game without any audio? But you've got a unique situation in a tabletop game, is that you need to have dynamic control, you need to be able to change instantly and unpredictably from one location to another. And also maybe you want to be able to set off a spell effect or decide that the dragon dies now. And also you've got an extra unique situation, is that the GM really needs to not pay attention to this thing. You really can run Sirenscape and try it for yourself. You can download it for free and give it a try on PC, Mac, Android, or iPad. And you just touch it if you want. Which would you just touch it and it goes and it takes care of itself. Some of the things I tried when I was trying to find someone else who'd already done it a year ago, you had to sort of work so hard on it, or there was a massive prep time, you know, you had to put into these things. So it's that kind of that unique requirement. You know, you can spend hours in a film creating the sound design, but once it's done, because the form of that film never changes, and the timing, obviously, of when the characters say the lines they're saying never changes on each presentation of that film. But that's obviously not the case on tabletop games, which is what's wonderful about them.
Now, one of the really neat things that I've noticed is I'm noticing this more and more with like certain tabletop programs. You guys are getting official support from certain role-playing game companies, and I'm noticing you guys are working with Paizo for Pathfinder specific sound sets.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Paizo have made this, what they were all about is their incredible world, Galarian, which is remarkably rich and incredibly well-supported. They're a passionate company who really, really cares about their users and you know, with the people who introduced the whole concept of letting the users and the gamers be totally involved in the design of the product. So they were an obvious partner for us. I mean, I'm a massive Pathfinder fan, having come from 3rd edition Dungeons & Dragons. And so, yeah, it was a no-brainer for us to approach them. And once they saw what we had, I mean, you know, we turned up on their doorstep and handed them an iPad with Sirenscape sort of 95% working. And they were just like, oh, my God, this is fantastic. Yeah, let's talk. So we've managed to negotiate with them. We now do official licensed products. So we've just finished Rise of the Runelords. So absolutely everything you need for the Rise of the Runelords adventure, all laid out, every single encounter you just step through with single clicks every now and then as you go from situation to situation. Plus we're ripping out official versions of the Pathfinder monsters. So, you know, we've got a fantastic red dragon. I'm just about to do dire bears, and there's a gibbering mouther, which is going to be really, really totally disgusting. And of course, what's cool is you can play these sounds with any fantasy game. But we've got this fantastic relationship with Paizo where they're really involved. They're really full on about their third party, you know, publishers, and they want things to be really high quality and to be matching sort of their passion about how good to make their games. So it's been a really fantastic relationship with them and really productive.
Now, I also noticed you do other soundscapes. Like, I noticed there's like a sci-fi version as well.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, totally. I mean, as soon as you do this sort of thing, we had people saying, "I want a sci-fi version. I want laser guns, and you know, and giant mechs and things like that." So yeah, so there's a sci-fi version as well, which you can download. The concept is basically there's a player. You download it for free. You don't even have to register. And there's two free sound sets, so you can totally give it a try on whatever device you're thinking of using it on. I think the sci-fi one comes with a blaster battle. And I think the sort of the deck of a starship, so you can be on your starship and play around faith, which is really cool. And yeah, that's the two big genres that we're covering at the moment. It's really fun building sci-fi stuff.
I really hope you guys get licensed to work with either BattleTech/MechWarrior or Star Wars. Yeah. The possibilities are unreal.
Yeah, totally.
But Ben,
this week in the Sci-Fi Player, we're releasing a cantina. You know, which obviously refers in a non-specific way to a particular cantina in a famous franchise. And that's been really super fun to get built. And, you know, it's like, oh my God, I'm totally in the Star Wars cantina. That's really awesome. And we're just about to also release we're going to call it Lightsword Battle, which of course refers to a particular weapon type in a popular franchise as well.
I've got to say, Ben, this is a fantastic tool for game masters to have at their disposal, and I really recommend players recommend this to their game master. I mean, at least check this program out. So, if people want to find out more, Ben, where would they have to go?
Yeah, so Syrinscape.com, Syrinscape. You can even misspell it in Google if you really like. And as I said, you can download for free. Players, if you want to recommend it to your GMs, you can buy a voucher. If you jump on the Facebook and Twitter, there's references to it there, or just email benjamin@syrinscape.com and say, where's that voucher you talked about? You can buy your GM a kind of, I think it's 60 days worth of access, and then he can make an account and apply it to himself. There's even a 30-day free trial. If you just Google for Syrinscape free trial, you'll find one of those, and you can actually, you know, like with Spotify, become a totally switched on subscriber and have every single sound set available. The subscriptions get you permanent ownership at a big discount of everything that comes out as it comes out. And we're releasing, you know, we have a license with Paizo and we've got to pile that content out. But what the subscriptions also do, which is really important, is unlock the entire back catalog for as long as you remain a subscriber. So it's about $300 worth of back catalog with, you know, dozens and dozens of really important fantasy locations. So rather than have to buy them all, you can jump on board and become a regular supporter, which is the good thing about that is it's the best way of supporting us, because then we get, you know, a regular sense of how much budget we have and how we can keep going as a company.
Well, Ben, I definitely hope that I'll be able to integrate this stuff with like some of the campaigns that I do, not just with my own personal gaming group, but with the other podcast I work with called Terrible Warriors. Ben, I want to thank you for your time today. I want you to hold on the line for just a minute.
Yeah, not a problem.
All right, guys, that was my interview with Ben Loom's Syrinscape. It's a lot more robust than I actually expected. If you can take the time to learn and plan your encounters right, you can add such a really deep layer of immersion. Like I said, one of the best sounds I found was that spooky rain. And just if you have the right descriptions as you describe your setting to your players, having that can bring something so magical to the table. I really think you can bring a truly new role-playing experience with them, especially now with those Pathfinder sets. If you are playing Rise of the Rune Lords right now, maybe even in Pathfinder Society, there's some really cool, frankly, really cool shit there, guys. Check it out. So anyway, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for me. I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd for ThisWeekInGeek.net. This has been Botched Roll, and as always, let's hope you don't roll a natural one.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit? Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
Oh, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat f***.
Okay, I'm good, Geico. Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.